rating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I got a rough day ahead of me today, folks. Got a rough day ahead of me today. It's my our son Zach's 34th birthday, and as a birthday present, I've committed to take him out on the golf course. So, got a long, strenuous day ahead of me today. I don't do that very often. I mean, I play golf every chance I get, but I don't play much during the week like this. So, Zach and I and my nephew Pete, my son-in-law Morgan, we're going to spend the day out slogging away. Because here in Ohio, I woke up this morning, looked outside. It's not just foggy. It's one of those, it looks like smoke, you know? You've seen fog. It looks like smoke. You try to figure that somebody's got something burning, but the Lord's got it burning, I guess, smoldering. The earth is smoldering. So excited about that. I got a piece of candy in my mouth. I always do that in the morning. I don't know why. So if I trip over that, I apologize. I want to touch in, tip my toe into the politic water here real quick. Listen, folks, if you think Hillary Clinton's going to win, you're crazy. If you're believing what they're telling you on the media, you are flat out crazy. Now, the big news came down yesterday. Supposedly it was big news that Trump is ahead of Hillary in Ohio. I could have told you that. But folks, Hillary Clinton, she is Nurse Ratched. She's just a... All they needed was somebody to come up against her. And a prediction that I made a few months ago, I said, Donald Trump is tearing down all the barriers. And I said, for the first time in their lives, I saw it happen with my own brother, by the way. My own brother was died in a World Union Democrat. He never voted Republican in his life. And I asked him in the recent primary here in Ohio, who do you vote for? He said, I voted for Trump. I said, what? He says, yeah. I said, then you never vote for a Republican. What's going on? He says, oh, Trump ain't a Republican. Trump's an American. And that's the way a lot of people are looking at it. Now, we purists, we evangelical Christians who think that our vote is so pure that we can't cast it for someone who doesn't share our values, unless it happens to be Mitt Romney, who wears secret underwear. We could vote for him. Or we could vote for George Bush, who was a conservative and expanded the budget more than almost any president in history up to the guy we got. We're so pure there, we can't understand the bigger picture that's going on. Blacks are voting for Donald Trump in record numbers. Blacks are. See, the media and the establishment is trying to tell you everything they're trying to convince you that Trump will be the worst thing, that nobody's going to vote for Trump. Guys, nobody's going to vote for Hillary. And I would sit here today if I was a prophet and I would tell you this. Something's going to happen. The Democratic Party knows they cannot win with Hillary. They know that. Something's going to happen. Whether Hillary's going to come down and say she's sick, whether she gets indicted. Because, see, I think there for a while she wasn't going to get indicted. There was no way that she was going to get indicted because she was running as the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party. They weren't going to indict her. Now they're looking out. She only got 37% of the vote in West Virginia last night. Bernie Sanders had like 51%. 51%. And here's another thing that's hidden in there that people don't see. 70%. You listening to me? 70% of Bernie Sanders supporters said that they would not vote for Hillary. They'd vote for Trump. So it's this anti-government push that's happening out there. So I think that the Democratic Party now realizes that she's a clunker. That she's the old news, she's an old hag, that nobody likes her, she has no appeal, there's no reason why anybody should vote for her, and I think she's not going to be the nominee. But what if they tried to scare us this whole time? That's why Trump can't be president, because it'd be the end of the Republican Party, praise the Lord. And not only the end of the Republican Party, but that Hillary, we would elect Hillary. Hillary's own people aren't even voting for her. Come on. Come on. Turn off Fox News. Turn them off. I'm convinced that this controlled opposition that we see in a lot of different places, Fox News being one of them, the radio talk shows being the other, controlled opposition, they are all feeding a particular narrative that when you just get on your Facebook page and just read what people are saying, and it's like taking your headphones and plugging it into the latest Rush Limbaugh show, people are repeating exactly what they heard from Limbaugh. Or what they heard from Levin, or what they heard from Hannity. They just repeat what they've heard. We just parrot what somebody else tells us. So my thermometer is this. I turn them all off, and I just watch. And I just listen. And I look around me, and I see what's going on. Hillary's hated. I don't know who they're going to put in for her, but I'll make this prediction. It isn't going to be Hillary. She's going to get sick. Do you guys really know that if Trump would take on Bill Clinton and his sex capades, if he takes that on and he exposes that to really a whole generation, you think about it, back in 1996 when Bill Clinton was president, during that whole time, how old were kids who are now, Dylan, when were you born? I jumped on you real quick here. Dylan, you may not be ready.
1992.
So Dylan was born when this whole Bill Clinton thing began in 1992. He grew up not knowing anything about that, not knowing about Whitewater, not knowing about Vince Foster being killed, not knowing about the travel, not knowing about anything, about Clinton and his rapes and none of that. This whole thing is going to be exposed to a whole new generation of American voters. Folks, you got to hear me. She can't win. And they're going to come to that realization that she can't win. So it's going to be really exciting to watch. What I think could be a possibility is the guy in the White House going to try to do everything not to leave. That's what I – that would be the fast one that they're going to try to pull on us, at least in my most humble opinion. Hey, listen, I want to share another – I hate it when we go to churches and they say, anybody have a praise report? To me, I just sound so sissy. When guys are sitting around, do we talk about praise reports? Hey, Larry, do you have a praise report today? Hey, Jared, do you have a praise report today? What are you guys talking about? Say, hey, man, got the Lord doing anything in your life? Like to hear something the Lord's doing in your life. Got a praise report? Jared reminded me of this. Hey, folks, listen, do this. Any, especially guys out there that I got word yesterday. Hey, Kevin, I got word yesterday from two guys held their own Target rallies by themselves. Two more guys. And Jared reminded me, our web guy reminded us, go to our website, CoachDaveLive.com, down at the bottom, the events down there. Post some pictures. Post some comments. Tell us what happened at your Target protest. Let us know. So we want to drive everybody there so they can understand that this thing is bigger than what we know that it is. And it's going to get bigger. This thing is not going to go away. Did I tell you this? I was on ABC National News on Monday. I got an email from some producer in New York. She said, hey, coach, blah, 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 typing it. Hey, coach, can we use some of your video for our report tonight? And we'll give you credit, yada, yada, yada. So me, I said, yeah, man. So I'm watching it. I'm all excited. And there was my video for about 3 seconds. So I made 3 seconds in the national news, but they were playing our Target protest. Guys, don't think that we're making traction. Understand this. The mainstream media is not with us because they're pro-homo. They're pro all that stuff. The fact that we would even get a little mention tells us that we have raised such a stink that now the secular world can no longer just sit on the story. So this thing is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But I want to read this one. By the way, let me finish up. Go to our website. Load up some pictures. Rich, go there and load up that picture you holding that big sign out there all by yourself and holding your Bible. Load that thing up there so people can see it. And anybody else that's watching this, I was encouraged today, yesterday, folks, when I'm just a straight shooter here. I don't pull any punches. I just call them the way I see them. When I posted the video yesterday after the show, I saw we'd had what, Jared? I think it's maybe 48 live viewers, which to me is good. That's as big as most churches. And in fact, 48 live viewers are choosing to tune in. They're not just scrolling. They're not just scrolling across the TV, you know, with their remote in their hand. They're choosing to come. There's 48. And I thought that's pretty good. And I get up this morning and I check it out. It's almost 1,000. Almost 1,000 people have purposely opened this video to watch it. Now, I don't know how many watch or how long, maybe 10 seconds, but at least we're gaining some traction. And I'm finding, I'd love to hear from you out there. If you're one of those guys and we're making a difference, I want you to share it with me. Will you send me an email? And I'm sharing an email I got yesterday with these guys because I want to encourage them. As Rich said, he ran into his, well, I'll let Rich tell that story later. Somebody he can't believe that is watching the show. He didn't even know it. Didn't even know it that he's watching the show. And so it's happened. I got this from a guy named Robert. I'm not going to use his last name because I didn't get his permission. Robert's in, I'm going to read this. Just yesterday this came to me. Hey, Coach, my name is Robert. I live in Georgia. I was introduced to you, Pass the Salt, about 2 weeks ago. The one about why Trump is good, doing good because Americans are looking for men. I've watched every morning since. I try to listen to the early one here at work to catch up. Last week, I got a permit from the city to protest Target. So Saturday, 2000, I was there from 9 till noon by myself. And Coach, I'm going to try to do it again this Saturday. Thank you for giving me the strength to stand for what we should have been doing 60 years ago. And please don't stop telling the truth and doing it in a way everyday men can understand. Praise the Lord, brother. I haven't been in a church in about 20 years. Got tired of not being fed God's true word. I'm up every day at 3 a.m. reading God's word and listening to Shepherd's Chapel with Pastor Arnold Murray, who has gone home to be with the Lord. I now have another man of God to help me be the man I should and can be with my brothers. Please let me know if I can help. With hope and faith in you and the other men standing up for our God, Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Now, guys, listen to me. You are part of something here. You all at the bottom of this screen are encouraging others, man. It's just, here's the way it happens. Courage is contagious. And I believe that there are hundreds of thousands of American men who are sitting just like H.D. Tripper was and wondering what's going on. Somebody needs to do something here. What are we supposed to do? And lo and behold, he came across something. My internet just quit on me. I don't know if you guys can hear me or not. I think I got to reboot. Let's just hang on here a second.
We can hear you. Well, anyway, guys, while he's figuring that out, go to protectrestrooms.com. And you scroll down to the bottom, and that's where user content can be put. All right, so Rich and anybody else who's watching, you can post up your pictures, just throw it up there in the comments, and give a little story about what happened. How did it change your life? How did it help? You know, and start spreading the word there and then on Facebook and everything. But that's the hub.
Hey, Jared, I did all that. Saturday, as soon as I got home, I uploaded the pictures and I put a whole caption of what happened.
On the Protect Restrooms?
Yeah. At events, I put the event information in, where I was.
At the bottom, though.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
There's the event, which is when you want to plan the event. Go down to the bottom and say, hey, here's what we did.
I'll put it on today.
Jared, you look like you're in an underground bunker there, man. It looks good. We got some insulation above you, concrete walls behind you. I don't know what happened to me that I just got knocked off the air. I don't know if I told you guys this or not. For about 2 years now, I don't even know if somebody's pulling my leg, but I don't think so. For about 2 years here, I'll be on the internet, and I get knocked off. Suddenly, I'm knocked off. So you know how you go down, hit the little thing, and get back on the internet, and you go down there, open, it shows you the networks that you can join, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? I go down there, and I click on the networks I can join. You know what's there? FBI Mobile. FBI Mobile Unit is one of the networks. And every time that FBI Mobile Unit kicks on, my internet goes down. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It started about 2 years ago when we held a protest against Muslims in Columbus. Kevin, you probably remember, some of you guys remember that. But they've been peeking in on me ever since. I'm sure they're just here to help. Sure, they're just here to help. But we are catching some attention. I'm sorry I lost my train of thought. But, guys, we're making a difference. You're all part of the team. Your opinions, your attitudes, everything that you do matters. Because what happens, Rich, is some guy hears that you grabbed a sign and you went out there, and he says, well, by golly, I can do it too. And then another guy says, well, I can do it too. And I can do it too. And that's how we begin to build this thing. As I shared with Rich, I haven't done a very good job on my website. I take full responsibility for that. I'm going to be in Temple, Texas this weekend for a boot camp Friday night and Saturday. If you're in that area and you want to be part of it, email me and I'll give you the details on it. It's free. We do our boot camps free. And we want to help men get engaged in the battle. And we've got one coming up here in a couple 3 weeks in Indianapolis. I'll get that up on the website so you know about it. We do that one free. We got one later on in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and we're looking to come to your community. If you would like to help us do a boot camp in your community, just contact me. Say, Coach, I'd like to have one here. And we don't need anything from you other than help us find a venue and be our guy on the ground that we can connect everybody to. But other than that, we do as much of the legwork as we can. And through our Salt and Light Brigade, we got thousands of emails and email addresses and emails of people that are in your neighborhood, so in your area. So we'll contact them and we'll try to get people there. And you say, well, Coach, we can't do that. I don't know if I can get very many people to come. Well, if you come, that's enough. If we can come and encourage you and strengthen you, then it's worth it to all of us. So, Jared, I got to get that stuff up on our website. Shame on me. Yeah, Rog.
Oh, I think we want to just remember, I'm not the greatest person to do things by myself, but I remember where Paul ended up. In prison, alone, cold. Asking for people to come to him.
Yep, amen.
And there are times maybe we shouldn't expect any more.
Not if we're doing our duty, brother. Not if we understand that it's war. We shouldn't. Which brings me again to Judge Roy Moore and our need to be able to stand with him. I got a couple good videos I want to show you today about all this and exactly what it is that's going on all around us. And then when we get a guy who's brave enough to stand up, we got to run. We got to run and support him. And, Rich, you might want to write this one down. I don't know how mobile you are, but we're going to be second weekend in June. We're going to be down in Montgomery, Alabama for a rally to stand with Judge Roy Moore. Jump on your motorcycle and come down. It might be a ways for you, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. We have got to turn people out. As we saw yesterday in the video that we watched from Jeff Cobble, man, are they lying to us. Boy, have we let them pull a two-card Monty on us. And we have to continue to awaken. Let's go to the scriptures, and then I got a couple things I want to, couple videos and some different things I want to show you that I think are really important. By the way, we've read both of these before, but I thought them to be very appropriate here this morning with what I want to talk about, okay? Psalms. Let's go to Psalms. Psalms 1, actually. Oh, so, the Psalms are so good, man. I just changed what I was going to read. I was going to read Psalm 1. Let's go to Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Hang on, I'm going to stop. Hey, Dylan. I don't want to, monopolize the program. Roger, we'll let you get your sissy Bible out again. Psalm 5. Read that to us, Raj.
From the beginning?
Yeah.
All right. Psalms 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray.
Amen.
In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil.
Amen.
With you, the wicked cannot dwell.
Thank you, Lord.
The arrogant cannot stand in your presence.
Mine says the foolish. King James says the foolish. Okay, go ahead.
Well, you hate all who do wrong.
All workers of iniquity. God hates all workers of iniquity. Go ahead, Roger.
You destroy those who tell lies.
Mm.
Bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors.
Yes, he does.
But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house, and reverence will I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies.
Whoa, hang on. Listen, don't miss that. That there's a connecting sentence there. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. See, the greatest way to win over your enemies, get victory over your enemies, is through righteousness. He's David saying here, Lord, they're after me and I'm in trouble, and it's only your righteousness that's gonna win for me. Keep going, Roger.
Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make straight your way before me.
Yes.
Not a word from their mouth can be trusted.
Ah, somebody say amen.
Their heart is filled with destruction.
Mine says wickedness.
Their throat is an open grave.
Yep, it is.
With their tongue they speak deceit.
And flattery. Mine says they flatter with their tongue.
Declare them guilty, O Lord.
No, Roger. Manly Bible. King James. Destroy thou them. Destroy thou them. David doesn't say, I'm going to pray for him, Lord. I'm going to pray for him and love him. No, David said, do me a favor, Lord. Destroy him, will you? Sorry. Just putting a little bit of emphasis into what the Bible really says. Go ahead, Roger.
Banish them from their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. 11.
Hang on, Roger. Roger, I want to read verse 10 in the King James.
Okay.
Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Wow. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. David is saying, Lord, let their own wisdom and their own counsel and their own guidance be their downfall. Praise the Lord. We're seeing that happen. It's going to happen, boys. Finish up here, Roger. Verse 11.
Well, I it's probably, before I go on, the clearest mess of my Bible, mine is declare them guilty. That is so different than the King James saying destroy them.
Yeah, isn't that unbelievable? Huh?
It's a complete different concept. Yep. 11. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O God, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield.
Let's go back to verse 11. King James, listen. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. David said, everybody puts their trust in the Lord, rejoice. Listen, why? Because thou defendest them. Ooh, that make me run. If you put your trust in the Lord, he's obligated to defend you. That's what it says. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Rich, he's going to defend you, brother. You put your trust in him, he will be your defense. What a great encouragement that is. And I wasn't even planning to read that this morning, because my pretty wife down the steps, morning, sweetheart. For the Lord will bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Awesome! Praise the Lord. We'll show you a couple things. Anybody want to jump in there real quick? Hey, Larry, I knew Larry. I felt Larry through the internet there.
You know, this Psalm chapter 5 brings to recollection what happens in Job. You know, this clearly says that the Lord defends those who are walking in righteousness, who are following the leadership of His Spirit in their life.
Amen.
And Job, a lot of people don't understand the book of Job. If you read the book of Job and you start reading at the very first of it, you can read a few verses, and all of a sudden, I was doing this one time, and God told me, He says, stop, you missed it, read again. And it must have been 20 times I read those first couple of verses of Job. And I'm going to turn there right now, because this is a direct word for encouragement for the guys that are in this.
Turn left if you're in Psalms. Turn left just a couple of books. Job 1, Larry?
Yeah, Job 1.
Job 1, you mean? Quality yeah. Is Job 1 there.
Okay. And it says, and the Lord said, okay. You read here in the first few verses of the book of Job, you see, I've heard so many times preached from the pulpit that Satan went begging to God for permission to mess with Job.
Right.
You know what? That's not what the Bible says. If you read this, what you will see is that Satan was a kind of a routine thing, that some kind of passing review or something. I don't know. I'm not wise enough to know what the situation was, but there was God and there was Satan, and God stopped Satan. So, hey, have you considered my servant? God sicked Satan on Job. God brought Job to Satan's mind. It wasn't the other way around. Satan didn't come begging for permission to mess with him. God knew that Job was of enough righteousness and enough character that he was going to turn around and stick it to Job in the end, and stick it to Satan in the end. God trusted Job. God knew what the outcome was going to be, and he sicked Satan on Job just for the purpose of punching Satan back in the nose. And I think, you know, everybody has hobbies. We're created in God's image. He has a hobby. I think his hobby is punching Satan in the nose. And Amen. He uses his servants that he can trust and that are walk in righteousness. He uses his servants to do that. So Amen. Every time I find myself in a really, really rough situation and everything, I start thinking, wow, is God up there telling Amen. Satan, hey, you see my servant Larry?
Don't
mess with him. What happens with you?
Amen. Amen. Jesse, we're in Job 1. Good to see you there, Jesse. That's very good, Larry. That's very good. He trusts you to carry the mantle for him. That's the way I see it. Remember, I've been sharing with you guys, it's never about you. It's never about you. Sometimes it might be, but God's multidimensional. He's able to use you to impact others. So what he's doing in your life, yes, it impacts you, but he's doing it through you to impact others. And if we can get that broader view of what's going on and understand that it's never, ever about you. It's never. Oh, it's partially, but it's not just about you. And that's what you pointed out there in Job, Larry, the devil didn't come looking for Job. God sent the devil to Job. What a different perspective that is. Tell everybody I get up every morning, I pray the devil takes a Tylenol. That's what I hope. Amen. That ought to be our attitude. Oh, where is that, Lord? Lord, where is that? I saw Satan fall like lightning. Is that in Isaiah? Is that in Ezekiel? Do you guys know where that is? Anybody off the top of their head? Because this is this when I first saw this, is that amazing? I opened up my Bible with this little thing in there, and it's right in that section, Isaiah 14. This is going to blow your mind, boys. Isaiah 14. Get there, Dylan. Isaiah 14. Wow. Oh, man. Are you guys there? Okay. Isaiah 14 and I'm going to begin. This is about the fall of Lucifer, okay? But I want you to see something. Verse 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, here it is, the five I wills, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mountains of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Okay, here you go. You ready? Then that verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Isaiah is saying, yeah, you can brag like that, buddy. You're going to brag like that, but you're going to get your hind end kicked. You're going to be dragged down into the pit, Isaiah is saying. Now look, stay here. 16. And they that shall look upon you and consider you, saying, I got to go back. I left a word out. I'm sorry. They that shall see thee shall narrowly look upon you. Guys, what does that mean to narrowly look upon you? It means this. Look at me. It means a squint. Huh? Huh? They that shall see thee shall squint when they look upon you and consider you and say, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? This guy? You get that? Do you understand that when we see him, we are going to see what a defeated foe he is? The devil is nothing more than a defeated foe with a megaphone, spewing lies, trying to scare you. And when this whole thing's over and he's revealed, it says we're going to squint our eyes and say, are you kidding me? This dude was messing me up that whole time. This little dude. Well, I'm going to read that again. They that see, Roger, let's hear what yours says there. 16.
Those who see you stare at you, they ponder your face.
The difference between staring, though, isn't it? To squint and to stare. You squint? What? You're really staring. Go ahead.
Is this the man who shook the earth and made kingdoms tremble? The man who made the world a desert, who overthrew its cities, and would not let his captives go home.
Is that amazing?
All the kings of the nations lie in state, each in his own tomb. Verse 19. But you are cast out of your tomb like a rejected branch. You are covered with the slain, with those pierced by the sword, those who descend to the stones of the pit, like a corpse trampled underfoot. You will not join them in burial, for you have destroyed your land and killed your people. The offspring of the wicked will never be mentioned again.
Wow! Woo, that's a victory. That's time to spike the football, isn't it, right there, boys? Huh? We don't read that much, do we? We don't hear that kind of talk much anymore. He's a defeated foe. He's already a defeated foe. Already defeated. It's like the man behind the curtain, remember? Remember in The Wizard of Oz? The great and powerful Oz! And they pull the curtain back and they say, are you kidding me? This dude, he's the great and powerful. Are you kidding me? It's a picture of Satan. We're not ignorant of his devices, but we have magnified him and his power far above what he has, guys. far above. His only weapon is deception. Lie. Scripture tells us that he was a liar and the father of them. All he can do is lie and deceive. That's all the enemy can do. Now remember this, John 10, we've been taught that the thief cometh but to kill and to steal and to destroy, right? We all know that. Who's the thief? Any of our students remember today who the thief is in John 10? It's not the devil, which they teach us in our churches. It's not the devil that's come to kill and to steal and to destroy. No, no, no. Who came to kill and to steal and destroy? You know, Roger?
I do not.
The hireling! The hireling!
Yeah.
Right? What can the devil do? Lie to you. Deceive you. That's all he can do. Once he lies to you and deceives you, now he's got you believing a lie, and now he's got control of you. That's what's going on. That's why Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Why does the truth set you free? Because you don't believe those stinking lies anymore, and you quit believing those lies. And when Satan is revealed to us, we're going to look at him and say, I cannot believe this little punk did this to us.
Dave?
Yeah?
You said that Satan is a liar, and the father of lies, and the rest of that is, and the truth is not in him.
Can't be in him.
And guess what? There was a lot of scripture inside of Satan. Satan used scripture to try to deceive Jesus in the wilderness.
Yes,
guess what? Anyone who uses scripture out of context and out of structure the way it is, what it says instead of trying to say what it means instead of what it says, anybody who twists scripture like that is, well, what does that mean? You know, wow, if A is equal to B, then B is equal to C. So if Satan is equal to a liar and scripture is a lie, if it's not presented in context and wholly as the way it's, you know, is, then anyone else who uses scripture that way, golly, A, liar, yeah, Satan, someone else, Satan, guess what, hireling, yeah. Those who use scriptures to deceive people and get them to believe false doctrines, and that is most pastors standing behind a pulpit. Oh, A is equal to B, B is equal to C. Uh-oh, this pastor is of Satan. You can't get around it.
Using scripture out of context is very, very, that's how they build their argument, using the scripture out of context. And I've often said in some of my arguments and some of my debates, biggest Bible verse wins. Or whoever gets the last word from the Bible, this scripture trumps this one, this scripture trumps this one. And it's just what scripture, scripture, scripture. But you see, the scripture is not just words, but it's principles. The scriptures are examples and principles upon which to build. They are not words to be taken out of context, to be applied to a specific situation that you find yourselves in. Or they can be used in that way. They can be used in that way. But let's say this one, that the righteous are as bold as lions, and evil men flee when no one pursues. Now, not only is that a sentence or a scripture, but it's a principle. It's a principle. You know things are upside down when the righteous are not bold. When the sinners are bold, you know things are upside down. And we look across America, who's the boldest? The Christians or the non-believers? Well, the non-believers have us Christians running to the hills scared. The righteous are as bold as lions, the scripture says, and evil men flee even when no one pursues. I could preach on that one for sure, see. We're the one doing the fleeing. We're the ones doing the fleeing. Why? Because the righteous aren't bold. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, because we're not righteous. Righteousness brings a boldness. When I go to the abortion clinic, ooh, this is all over me. Give me a couple seconds here. When I go to the abortion clinic, I don't have any problem at all rebuking those death squares. Do you know why? I know I'm righteous. I know what's inside me. I know the truth that is inside me. I know that I'm carrying the oracles of God. I know that, as Larry said, the truth is in me, and I couldn't care less what those evil doers think. The righteous are as bold as lions, and evil men flee when no one pursues. Boy, fellas, we got that one upside down, don't we? Huh? We got that one upside down? Look at what's going on in our country, and we're out begging evil men to do good? How did we ever get into this situation? I'm going to show you a video right now. Anybody want to jump in here before I do? About a 7-minute video. Got it from my friend Bradley Dean. And it was talking about what we were talking about yesterday. It's the full one, Jared. It's about 7 minutes long. You know which one I'm talking about there, bud? Let's go ahead and put that thing up there, and let's play that one. By the way, I'll talk to you about that later on, Jared. There's a chat going on right here somewhere on this website. I don't even know where the chat is. I ought to figure that out, I guess. No, we want him. Somebody tell us more chat, maybe on YouTube. People are chatting right now, and I don't even know the chatting. No, not that one, Jared. The other long one. I sent you this morning. If I want to say anything with Jared Edition around there, I'll find out what to send him. Here he's got it. He's got it right here. No, did I send? You know what, Jared? I sent the wrong daggone one. How could I do that? It's my bad. It's my bad. How do I find it? Jared, can I go ahead and play that? Let's go ahead and play that other one, Jared. And while you're playing that, I'm going to find the other one. Hey, guys, remember we were talking yesterday about Romans 13? I got a little 3-minute segment here on Romans 13 I want you to see. Go ahead if you can find that, Jared. Yeah, not that one. There you go. It's only about 3 minutes.
Chapter 13 limits the power and reach of civil authority. Did Moses violate God's principle of submission to authority when he killed the Egyptian taskmaster in defense of his fellow Hebrew? Did Elijah violate God's principle of submission to authority when he openly challenged Ahab and Jezebel? Did David violate God's principle of submission to authority when he refused to surrender to Saul's troops? Did Daniel violate God's principle of submission to authority when he disobeyed the king's law to not pray audibly to God? Did the 3 Hebrew children violate God's principle of submission to authority when they refused to bow to the image of the state? Did John the Baptist violate God's principle of submission to authority when he publicly scolded King Herod for his infidelity and all of his evils? Did Simon Peter and other apostles violate God's principle of submission to authority when they refused to stop preaching on the streets of Jerusalem? Or did Paul violate God's principle of submission to obey authorities who demanded that he abandon his missionary work? In fact, Paul spent almost as much time in jail as he did out of jail. Remember that every apostle of Christ except John was killed by hostile civil authorities opposed to their endeavors that would not be ruled by God or his laws. Christians throughout church history were imprisoned, tortured, or killed by civil authorities of all stripes for refusing to submit to their various laws and prohibitions. Did all these Christian martyrs violate God's principle of submission to authority? No way! So even the great prophets and apostles and writers of the Bible, including the writer of Romans chapter 13, understood that human authority, even civil authority, is limited. Plus, Paul makes it clear that our submission to civil authority must be predicated on more than fear of governmental retaliation. For he must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Meaning, our obedience to civil authority is more than just because they said so. It's also a matter of conscience, which means with knowledge. This means we must think and reason for ourselves regarding the justness and rightness of our government's laws. And by the way, who gave law? God did through Moses. Obedience is not automatic or robotic. It is a result of both rational deliberation and moral approbation. Therefore, there are times when civil authority may need to be resisted, either governmental abuse of power or the violation of conscience, or both, could precipitate civil disobedience. Beyond that, we in the United States of America do not live under a monarchy. We have no king. There is no single governing official in this country. America's supreme law does not rest with any man or any group of men. America's supreme law does not rest with the president, the Congress, or the Supreme Court. In America, the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. So therefore, under our laws, every governing official publicly promises to submit to the Constitution of the United States.
So help me God. You can stop right there, Jared. So help me God. See, when they swear their oath, they are acknowledging a force, a power higher than themselves. Remember we spoke about yesterday that the power of the government, the higher authorities, so when they take their oath, they're swearing to a higher authority, and then they ignore it. Hey, Jared, I just sent you the new one. I don't know if you can find that one or not. So this idea that they've been preaching to us in the churches, again, blind obedience is just not true. And it's just not true. And until we begin to awaken and understand that it has become our duty to stand up and push back, we're going to continue to find ourselves in a mess. Guys, I want to this plays right along with this second part. This is also from Bradley Dean. You want to say something, Raj?
No.
Okay. This is called Bradley produced this one as well. He's a good friend of mine. This is called The Church Took the Bait. And this will show you why we are where we are. See if you can get that one ready there, Jared. I just sent it to him. Fast American technology here, worldwide technology. The church took the bait.
The church took the bait. Our government should be kept entirely and purely secular. So our father said, we shall form a secular government. The Declaration of Independence denied the authority of any and all gods. They agreed that there should be only one religion, and that was the religion of patriotism. Our fathers founded the first secular government that was ever founded in the world. Colonel Robert Ingersoll, lawyer and political leader. When you look at what's taking place in America today, there is no doubt that the people in this country are asking the question concerning the attacks on the church and government, namely our foundations, as to what's going on. Why does the church and why are those in government turning and capitulating concerning every attack that the communists, atheists, homosexuals, Muslims, so on and so forth commit against them? What have they taken on to believe that these group of anti-Americans actually have a right to advance an illegal agenda? The answer is that the American people have simply taken the bait to their own demise by taking on an evolutionary view of government along with something called compartmentalization. Again, listen to what Robert Ingersoll said. Our government should be kept entirely and purely secular. So our fathers said, we shall form a secular government. The Declaration of Independence denied the authority of any and all gods. They agreed that there should be only one religion, and that was the religion of patriotism. Our fathers founded the first secular government that was ever founded in the world. Really? The Declaration of Independence proves Ingersoll's ignorance, and even more so, them that do not do their due diligence and believed what he had actually said. When reading the Declaration of Independence, we find, number one, the laws of nature and nature's God. Number two, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Number three, appealing to the supreme judge of the world. Number four, with a firm reliance upon divine providence. And friends, what of the Mayflower Compact, which preceded the Declaration of Independence? Listen to what this said. In the name of God, amen, whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, Defender of the Faith, etc. Having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith in honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these present solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and of one another, covenant and combine ourselves together in a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid, and by virtue hereof to enact, constitute and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions and offices from time to time as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience. In witness whereof we have hereunder subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, in the year of the reign of our sovereign Lord King, James of England, France and Ireland, the 18th, and of Scotland, the 54th, Anno Domini, 1620. The church in America began to slowly accept the teaching of compartmentalization. Number one, they began to teach the young people to get involved with spiritual work such as missionary works. In other words, get involved with helping people in other countries while they were taught to forget their own brothers and sisters in their own backyards. Number two, no longer were they involved in secular professions such as science, which is the study of creation, education, law, and politics. And before we knew it, the government itself was now contradicting its very purpose and function by attacking the people's rights in which God gave instead of actually securing these rights. That again is found in the Declaration of Independence, in which these human secularists contradict. Number one, in 1962, with prayer taken out of school, or as we are led to believe, in Engel versus Vital, in 1963, the Bible in the classroom was to be taken out in cases Abington versus Shemp and Murray versus Curlett. Friends, you can still bring the Bible to your school. As a matter of fact, in 1980, when the Ten Commandments were taken out of the schools, the court made the following statement. Listen carefully.
Listen to this, guys.
If the posted copies of the Ten Commandments are to have any effect at all, it will be to induce the school children to read, meditate, perhaps to venerate and obey the commandments, which is not a permissible objective. Now, the nine Supreme Court judges based their rulings off of their own personal views, using no precedents from previous cases, no quotes from our founding documents, or any of the founding forefathers. They also brought in psychologists, which said that the Word of God, in essence, was emotionally harmful. Let me remind you what President Andrew Jackson said of the Supreme Court. If the Supreme Court is the final arbiter to decide differences of what the Constitution says, then we have ceased to be our own rulers under God, and the Supreme Court is our ruler. Now, what has been harmful here is the lack of obedience to the God that gave us them rights by allotting this to corruption to advance itself on a society at large. And interestingly enough, the Ten Commandments were the basis of civil law for over 2,000 years in the Western world. So what's the problem? Liberty? Absolutely not. Remember, friends, liberty is the right to do what the law permits. And let me ask you, in making reference to the law, who is the lawgiver? The God of the Mosaic institution in which Jesus Christ himself fulfilled. And before taking it for face value next time, friends, do pull the curtain back on those that are giving you the information. Colonel Robert Ingersoll, in the turn of the 20th century, he was the one that brought in a new philosophy, the philosophy in which I'm exposing. He said, "We are laying the foundations of the grand temple of the future, wherein will be celebrated the religion of humanity. We are looking for the time when reason, throned upon the world's brain, shall be King of Kings and God of Gods."
Wow. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. and thou shalt teach them diligence unto thy children, and shalt talk of them, and shalt bind them for a sign on the hand. They shall be as a frontals before thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. It shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When these shall have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of bondage. Wow. That's Deuteronomy 4. Was that Deuteronomy? I missed that beginning of that. Was that 4, Jared? Or 6? Deuteronomy 6. Let's go there real quick, guys. Oh, man, we're not going to have time. Maybe we'll have to pick. Let's pick up there tomorrow. Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. So we've bought a lie, see? We have bought a lie. We've bought this lie of the separation between the church and state. And I think that you could probably, if we were scientists, we could probably draw a direct line of correlation to 1961 and 1963 when we removed the teaching of the Bible and Christianity and prayer from our public schools. That then we became a secular society, a society built upon humanism, which that was the next thing I was going to try to get to today. And so what we see across America is we're not a Christian nation anymore. Why are we not a Christian nation anymore? Well, we're not a Christian nation anymore because we no longer teach the precepts to our children, generation after generation after generation. Psalm 78, go there real quickly. Real quickly, I want to show you. Man, this is... Oh, man, this has been good. Psalm 78. I'm flipping to 78. I'm going to go just for sake of time. 78, verse 5. It says, for he established a testimony in Jacob, connecting history for us here. And he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that it should make them known to their children. Commanded these precepts and these laws be taught to our children, that the generation to come might know them. Tag team handoff. Roger teaches it to Dylan. Dylan teaches it to his children. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who will arise and declare it to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So in 1961, we let them sever this handoff. We no longer produced moral Christian values in our public schools, in government. We said we were secular. We became humanist. And in 2016, how's that working out for us, boys? You reap what you sow. This is exactly where we are. Final thoughts from anybody? I'll give you a final thought. The scripture says that the righteous are as bold as lions. Why are we not? Why are we letting the homos, the transgenders, and pedophiles, and the perverts, why are we letting them do it? Why are we letting them control everything? Remember? Remember in that day, we're going to take off our glasses, and we're going to squint. We're going to say, are you kidding me? This guy made earth tremble. This guy shook kings. Are you kidding me?
This church stopped being the pillar and ground of truth and started and handed it to the government.
And lost its faith in God and the power of God to convert the soul. We saw the precepts and truths of the Bible as religious only, having no secular value. Do you understand that, guys? We took the Bible and applied it in our churches and took it not outside our churches anymore. We were told the Bible does not apply to the culture. And here we are. Got a Muslim in the White House. London, England, for the first time in history, elected a Muslim mayor. Did you guys see that? Is that unbelievable? Is that unbelievable how we have yielded these positions, these Christian positions?
Yeah, that just demonstrates how the Muslims stay together and operate in unity. We should take a lesson, and we should unify and operate in unity.
Brother, it's so simple, isn't it? Where there is unity, God commands the blessing. But we've believed the lie. We've believed that little guy. We've believed him that there's a separation between the church and state. Oh, I got more for you tomorrow. Great program today. Full house here. Tell your friends. Let's continue to rebuild this nation, one foundation at a time, one brick at a time, one man at a time, one target at a time, one city at a time, one state at a time. Who cares about Trump? Who cares about Ted Cruz and Hitlery? We can make a difference. All politics are local. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.